On the following day, when they came from Bethany, he was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree and leaf, he went to see whether perhaps he could find anything on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. He said to it, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples heard it. The second part of scripture starts on verse 20, and it reads, "In the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree withered away to its roots. Then Peter remembered and said to him, 'Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed has withered.' Jesus answered them, 'Have faith in God. Truly I tell you, if you say to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and if you do not doubt in your heart, but believe that what you say will come to pass, it will be done for you. So I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours.'" This is the word of the Lord. Be to God. And now we have our message from Pastor Eva.
Good morning. It's a wonderful, beautiful Palm Sunday, and some churches celebrate with the waving of palm branches. I invite you now to picture that wonderful day when Jesus and his disciples entered Jerusalem. He arrived riding on a colt with cloaks laid on the colt for him to sit upon, and palm branches and cloaks were laid on the ground before him as he entered the city. People were shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." They celebrated Jesus, as we today celebrate Jesus as well. Let us pray. Lord, we gather here today on this wonderful Palm Sunday, seeking your wisdom and your mercy. We ask that the words spoken today reflect your will, and that you open our hearts and open our minds so that we may know your true glory. Lord, we ask that all our thoughts be acceptable in your sight, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So Jesus' triumphant entry marks the beginning of Holy Week. For us as a church, we call it Palm Sunday, or also known as the beginning of Passion Week. It's a beautiful scene when you think about it, and it complexes, or as a bookend, to what happens 6 days later. Jesus is triumphant as he enters Jerusalem, and people are cheering and they're greeting him, for they have heard about him, and many have seen him before, and they're so happy that he has entered their city of Jerusalem. So happy that they take off their own cloaks and lay it on the ground before him. So happy that they pick palm branches from high up and lay it on the ground before him, making a path, a beautiful aisle for Jesus as he enters Jerusalem. And they shout these wonderful words, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom coming of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." All these great words for Jesus as he enters Jerusalem. So we know that in this morning's passage that Peter, of course, one of the disciples, is with him on this journey. And Peter sees this wonderful triumphant entry into Jerusalem as well. And we look at Peter's encounter with Jesus, and we have a lesson for us to learn this day. For as these past weeks we've been looking at the different people who encountered Jesus, we learn many things from them. But from Peter, I think we can learn a very important lesson that we, even ourselves today, must hold. From Peter, we must learn to not be spiritually barren. For in this morning's passage where Jesus is encountering not just Peter, but also a fig tree, we learn about the dangers of being spiritually barren. So after Jesus and his disciples enter Jerusalem and have that wonderful greeting of palms and shouts of Hosanna, Jesus and his disciples go on to Bethany. And of course, they do what they usually do daily as they go about their routine. I want you to think about your own daily routine. Daily, you get up and you make a choice of what clothes to wear. Everyone chose what they are wearing today, I assume. And everyone then chooses what meal they will eat for breakfast, for lunch, for dinner. You choose your own food that you are to eat. And on Sunday, you even choose to go to worship or not. We know that there are many competing activities out there that you can attend. Or what about Monday to Friday? If you're a student, you choose to go to the school that you go to. A college student applies to these schools, gets accepted to schools, and chooses which college to go to. Or for those who work during the day, you have chosen that career, that profession to be in. You make all these choices daily in your lives, both small and big, important choices. And you also think about your own free time, who you will spend with your free time with family, with friends, with loved ones, with new people as well. You have that choice decision to make. Now think about Peter and his life and what decision he makes. For now, Peter has been traveling with the disciples and with Jesus and for three some years now, and we know that his decisions were probably not as complicated as our decisions today. Imagine being in the life of Peter during those biblical times. You get up in the morning and you have one tunic to wear. You might have had a cloak or extra sandals, but that was probably about it. He didn't have a wardrobe full of clothes to choose from. And what about food? For Peter, we know, traveled with Jesus, and Jesus, of course, would invite himself to people's homes, would get offered by people, would pick fruit from a fig tree for a meal, would sit by the lakeside and have people share loaves and fishes. Really, daily food was not a choice for Peter. It's not like today where we choose to eat something we make from the refrigerator or choose to go to a fast food counter or even choose to sit in at a restaurant. I would say that Peter definitely had much less choices. And what about Peter and his work? He made that one important decision to follow Jesus, to be a disciple. So his work was really just doing what Jesus did and following Jesus. That decision was also easily made for him. And then free time for Peter, he didn't have his friends, his family. He left them to follow Jesus. He surrounded himself with the other disciples, with Jesus and fellow followers. So Jesus, in a way, also made that decision for Peter. Peter's life, then you might say, was very simple, even choice-free in a way. But he chose that life because he believed in Jesus so much. But then Jesus is warning people that sometimes you can become spiritually barren because you, in a way, stop making choices. And Jesus, you know, was so aware of what his mission was, what God's plans was for him. For Jesus was the Son of God and also the Son of Man, and Jesus was fully aware of what was to happen during this time as this Holy Week began. Jesus knew his destiny, and he knew that he would no longer be on the earth walking with the disciples. But he wants to prepare the disciples, especially Peter the disciple, warning them to not be spiritually barren, warning them that there will be a day that they will not have Jesus with him making all those decisions. And then it will be up to them to make that important decision. We know that in this morning's scripture passage, Jesus is walking and he comes from Bethany and he is hungry and he sees a distance, it saws a fig tree in leaf. So a fig tree in leaf means it's a fig tree full of leaves, beautiful looking. And you know, if you see a tree that is full of leaves, then if you automatically assume that it would have fruit as well, because that is how nature works for trees. Trees that have leaves are in bloom, and that also means the fruit is in bloom. But when Jesus approaches the fig tree, because he's only seen it from a distance, how beautiful it is and full with leaves, but when he goes to see it, he does not find any fruit to eat of it. It says that it was not the season for figs, but yet it still had all these leaves. So why would this tree have leaves without fruit? Jesus says, "Now then, may no one ever eat fruit from you again." And the disciples heard it. Disciples heard it and they heard these words, "May you never eat, no one ever eat fruit from you again," as a curse. For the disciples were thinking that Jesus is judging this tree, cursing this tree. But Jesus, in a way, is making a commandment. He, yes, is judging the tree, but he is also showing a lesson about this tree. For the tree represents this nation of Israel and how spiritually barren it has become. Yes, it might look good from the outside, full of leaves, full of life. We know the temples were busy during that time. We know that people did, yes, continue to worship. But we also know if you have a chance to read Mark 11, there is the part about them also going to the temple and Jesus being so upset at seeing all the people selling their wares and vendors at the temple, taking the money of selling goods to offer at the altar and putting it in their pocket for their own greed. Now, I know it's funny this morning that part of chapter 11 includes the Jesus overturning the tables at the market. And later this afternoon, I encourage all to go to the United Methodist Women's Food Fair. If you take a deep breath, you can even smell some of the delicious food smells coming from the kitchen as they are preparing it. But the difference is the United Methodist women, they take the funds that they raise and they don't put it in their pocket for their own greed. They use it for the special mission projects, all that they do, the good work that they do, from feeding the homeless to supporting missionaries and other things that they do. But Jesus was so angry, for he knew that these people who said they were of faith were not doing good deeds like that. They were selling in the marketplace for money for their own greed to put into their own pockets. They were worshiping not just God, but other gods as well, and hoping for wealth and prosperity from these other gods. They were not obeying the Sabbath. They were doing all these wrong things. So yes, maybe on the outside they looked like a beautiful fig tree full of leaves, but yet they were not like that. Jesus knew that they were spiritually barren. And he also warned the disciples that they themselves could easily be spiritually barren. Jesus, knowing that he would soon no longer be with them, was fearing for that might happen to them as well. So then later, when they pass the fig tree again, they see that the fig tree has withered away, even down to its roots. When a tree withers away, even down to its roots, then there is no hope for it. Because once the roots are damaged, it cannot be repaired. Then Jesus says these words about the fig tree, and Peter remembers the words that he says, and Peter says to Jesus, "Rabbi, look, this fig tree that you cursed has withered." For Peter remembers the words that Jesus spoke, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again," as the disciples heard it. It's so important here that of all the disciples that, as you say, calls Jesus on this, saying, "Look at this barren fig tree," that it is Peter, the disciple. For we also must remember Peter's life and all that he did and what an important part he was in Jesus' life. Peter was present when Jesus was transfigured on the mountaintop. In Luke chapter 9, verses 28 to 35, we know that Jesus, early in his ministry, takes with him Peter, John, and James up to a mountaintop. And while Jesus was praying there, his face changed. They say his clothes became dazzling white. And a cloud comes over them, and a voice from heaven says, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." This beautiful scene of transfiguration was only for Jesus and Peter and John and James. Peter, yes, Peter was present at this important time, the marking of transfiguration of Jesus. And Jesus tells them before they go down the mountaintop to tell no one. So this is truly a important occasion that happened just with Peter and the other two disciples and Jesus. Jesus here is building a stronger foundation with these disciples, with Peter, who then he calls later the rock. In Matthew 16, verse 15 to 18, Jesus calls Peter, Simon Peter, the rock. Jesus asks his disciples, "Well, who do you say I am?" And it is Simon Peter who answers, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." For Peter has experienced the transfiguration. He has heard the voice of God saying, "This is my son, the chosen. Listen to him." And Jesus then tells Simon Peter, "Blessed are you, Peter, for your flesh and blood has not revealed to you yet, but in my Father in heaven. I tell you, Peter, you are this rock, and I will build my church." Peter has seen Jesus transfigured. Peter has been called the rock, the beginning, the foundation of the church. All these important things. So it is interesting that Peter then is the one who says to Jesus, "Remember, you have cursed this fig tree." We know also that Peter, we hear later during Jesus' time, is think about Holy Week. When Jesus experiences the Last Supper with the disciples, when Jesus goes to the Garden of Gethsemane and prays, and when Jesus is arrested, when he is put on trial, and when he is crucified, we know that during this trial, it is Peter who denies Jesus not just once, not just twice, but three times. Peter has begun what Jesus is fearing. He has begun to become spiritually barren. So when Jesus says that may no one ever eat fruit from you again, that you will wither and die, he says that is what will happen to you if you become spiritually barren, like the fig tree that bore no fruit and was barren. He's warning us that we will die if we become spiritually barren. We know that Jesus was arrested. We can imagine how hard his trial must have been. And for Peter to see all that happening to Jesus, arrested, tortured, put on trial, and then for Peter to deny Jesus not once, twice, but three times, we wonder what was going through Peter's mind during that time, how lost he must have been becoming. For when Jesus says that the fig tree will wither and die without being spiritually filled, he's warning the disciples to not lose faith, to not become spiritually barren. For yes, they will lose their leader, but they will gain so much more. And that's what we must remember as we enter this time of Holy Week. To yes, no, we all have these wonderful mountaintop experiences with Jesus, just as Peter did. And yes, Jesus calls us to be the foundation of his church, to be a rock, just as Peter was called. But we must never, as Peter did, deny Christ and lose our spirituality, our faith in God. For Jesus reminds them to have faith in this morning's passage. He says, "Truly I tell you, if you say to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and if you do not doubt in your heart, but believe that what you say will come to pass, it will be done for you." Jesus reminds Peter and the disciples to not lose faith, to not have doubt in their hearts. So Jesus says, "I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." For that is where we can start with our spirituality, with prayer, the belief that God hears us, to pray to God, our Father, our Creator, to be in deep conversation. For Jesus knows that the time will come when he is taken away from the disciples, not just temporarily put in jail, but through a trial and physically put to death and taken away permanently from the disciples in physical body. And Jesus is reminding them to be in prayer and to believe that they shall receive. So we know that the disciples, after Jesus' death, hopefully prayed for this thing, that Jesus will continue to live on as he did when he was resurrected. And today, as a church, as we celebrate Palm Sunday in the beginning of Holy Week, let us remember these steps that the disciples took with Jesus before his trial and arrest. To remember this great faith that Peter had, and yes, know that Peter's faith did suffer at a time when he thought he was losing Jesus. But to know that we must not lose our faith, even when sometimes Jesus seems far away from us. When we make wrong choices, when things go bad in our lives, and when we hear about all the things that are happening in this world, we can fall spiritually barren. But we must remember Jesus' word to not have doubt in our faith, to continue to pray to God and continue to believe. Just as we say we will be Easter people, especially as we celebrate the resurrected Christ next Sunday, we continue to believe in God, to have faith and follow Christ. Let us pray. Lord, we hear the story this morning of Peter, the fig tree, and his encounter again with Jesus. We know that we can fall easily into the trap of being spiritually barren, just as Jesus warned his disciples that day. We know that we do not want to fall into this trap, but to continue to serve you, Lord, to continue to love you, Lord, and have our relationship with you. We know through your Son, Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven, and we are so grateful and forever loving of you, Lord. Continue to guide us, continue to lift us up spiritually, and we continue to be in prayer with you. Amen. Yeah.